Okay, morning. So the title that I've been given is the I Am the Good Shepherd. I'm going to split this into two main parts. So the first part is the I Am, and the second part will be the Good Shepherd. So back in July, when Nikki first asked us, or first suggested, at the new preaching session, God was talking to me quite a bit about the I Am. So when Nikki asked for volunteers, I thought, well, I really better against my even if I didn't particularly want to, I really better volunteer. But I wasn't particularly at that point particularly concerned about which I Am, because I was thinking then mostly about the I Am. So hence, I'm going to split this into two parts, and we're going to talk about I Am first, and then we'll come back to the Good Shepherd later. So what does the phrase I Am talk about? It talks about identity and how we might identify ourselves. And there's various ways in which we could sort of describe I Am. I could say, well, I'm white, I'm middle-aged, and I'm male. But none of this is really how I identify myself. It's just, it is what I am. There's not much I can change about that. I am white and I can't really change that. So it's not how I identify myself. It's just what I am. Similarly, we could talk about, I could talk about my ancestry. I could talk about my upbringing and my childhood. And I could talk about my education, and all of those have an influence on what I am, but they don't define what I am. They're not, and I don't let them. I wouldn't let my ancestry or upbringing or childhood or education be my identity. They're not what I am. And there's also not much I can do now, because they're all in the past. So it doesn't affect how I live my life, or it doesn't have so much of an effect on how I live my life today. So the third way I could talk about identity is what I do for a living. So I work as a software engineer. And that has a bit more relevance, because I actually try and, probably like a lot of you, try and do my job well. And I try and be a good software engineer, and that takes a bit of commitment and a bit of action. So we're getting a little bit more. So we've now got to the sort of concept of, you know, having a bit of, the identity implies a bit of action as well. So we could move on from that. We could talk about our hobbies and interests. So I'm a cyclist, and I've also recently started doing some triathlon. But and that again requires a bit of commitment. So it's more than just wearing the hoodie. It actually involves actually getting out there and being involved. Okay, but it's still not how I really identify myself. And we're getting gradually more important. So the next way I could talk about myself is about my family. So I'm a husband, and I'm a father, and I've also got parents. And that requires some commitment. So I try and be a good husband, and I try to be a good father and a good son. And all of that requires a commitment of time and effort. Okay, so you can probably see where I'm going here. So how do I really identify myself? And what's the most important thing, I would say, was that I am a Christian. At this point, I might sort of nick a bit from Rod's preach and say, it's not just I am a Christian, but I am a Christian. So that's blatantly nicked from Rod. but it's very good. And this would be how I would really try and identify myself. So what does it mean, or what's that implications for? I guess I should start by, what's the sort of core beliefs of being a Christian? Well, I believe in God, and I believe in God the Father, and I believe in Jesus the Son, and I believe that Jesus died to save us and to be able to wash us clean and forgive us of our sins. And thirdly, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit came and that he dwells within us. And that I believe that the Holy Spirit is within me and that he empowers me. And he empowers me to be more like Jesus. So this is a key point. So I'm called to be more like Jesus, but it's not just an idle calling. There's also an empowerment of having the Holy Spirit, God, within me. So in this sense, I can say I am in a much more significant sense. So I am in part Holy Spirit, and the more I strive to be like Jesus, hopefully, the more that will be apparent. So I'm going to share a picture now of what a picture that I was given back in July when I was at New Wine, and just to set the context. New Wine, we were camping in the rain and the mud, and the sanitary facilities were somewhat questionable at best. So after a couple of days of this, I felt God say to me quite clearly, "Look in the mirror," which is quite a scary thought when you've been camping in the mud and the rain. But the context of this was to look in the mirror and to see what you see. And I felt specifically that God was saying, don't look at the imperfections. Look to try and see, where do you see God in the mirror? So look for the positives. What God wants us to do is to bring out the positives. So I guess it's a bit like I don't have one, but some of you, probably about half of you, will probably have a makeup mirror. And a makeup mirror is not for looking and seeing the imperfections, it's for being able to look and see the beauty and be able to accentuate the beauty. And it's the same with the mirror, that God wants me to look at the mirror and look and try and see more of God in the mirror, and to strive to be more like him. Okay, so that's pretty much the first part, which is all about identity. So when we're talking about when we move on to looking at the I ams in the Bible, if I'm called to be more like Jesus, then these I ams should apply to me as well. They're not just about Jesus, but I should be able to take them and apply them to myself. So what we're going to look at, or what I've been tasked to look at, is the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. So as we look at this, I want to focus on what that means to me and how I should apply that to myself, and how I should live my life, and how I should be more of a good shepherd. I expect that this applies to all of the other I ams as well, but I'm going to focus on the Good Shepherd. So we're going to talk a little bit, or think a little bit, about what it means to be a shepherd. Now, one of the things about modern day Christianity is that the term shepherd is quite an old analogy, and I suspect that in biblical times when Jesus was around, there were a lot more shepherds around, and a lot more people would have known what it was to be a shepherd. I suspect that if I asked you if any of you work as a shepherd, there'd probably be a grand total of none. If I asked you if any of you actually knew somebody who was a shepherd, though, and there might be, or who was a shepherd, probably not. So it's worth maybe thinking about a few other words or a few other analogies that we might say have a similar role to shepherd, or have similar sort of aspects. So I thought about this, and I came up with a few which might be relevant. And I guess one of them might be a steward, so somebody who works as a steward in something. You could also say a parent. I think a parent has a very significant role in terms of being a shepherd. And the third one, which I thought of, and I'll was a marshal at a sports event. So if you've ever taken part in a sports event, whether it's a park run or anything like that, there's often marshals who are there to help organise the event. So there's various different other words, and I'm sure you may come up with others that are more relevant to yourself. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Good Shepherd, and I'm going to read, if I can find the right bit. I'm going to read a little bit from Psalm 23, which is a very well-known psalm, which talks about the shepherd. And we'll come back to that. So Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, so I'm going to bring out, I came up with five different points, or five different aspects of what it means to be a good shepherd, or what a good shepherd does. And the first one is guidance. So a good shepherd will guide and provide leadership to the sheep. So in verse 2 of Psalm 23, we've got, "He leads me beside still waters." And in verse 3, we've got, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." So there's a strong concept of guidance and being able to lead the sheep. And this applies to some of the other terms. So when I think about being a good parent, part of being a good parent is providing some guidance to your children. And that will change as they get older, as to how you apply the guidance. And the same with being a steward might provide some guidance as to where people should go and where people might find what they need. And a marshal at a sports event will part of it is providing guidance to keep the athletes on route and going the right way. So that's the first point, is guidance. So the second point I've got is protection. So a shepherd has responsibility for protecting the sheep. And in verse 4, we see the rod and the staff, and the rod and the staff are partly there as a means of protection. Shepherds are also responsible for the, setting boundaries or fences. So they will, a shepherd will look after the fences around the field and make sure the sheep stay within the boundaries. And again, that's for the sheep's protection. A shepherd is also responsible for fighting off attackers or animals. So in the Bible, we see quite a few references to wolves, and the shepherd is there to defend the sheep. And another aspect of protection is to provide a place of refuge. So verse 6, we saw, I shall dwell in the house. So he provides a place of refuge. So although the sheep may spend a lot of their time out on the hills, there's often somewhere where the shepherd can bring the sheep down in particularly bad weather or winter time. Okay, so we've got guidance, we've got protection. So the third point is going to be provision. So in verse 5 of Psalm 23, we've got, you prepare a table. And in verse 2, we've got, he leads me beside still waters. And we've also got a reference to green pastures. And in verse 1, we've got, I shall not want. So there's a lot there, quite a few bits in that psalm, where it's talking about provision and providing food and water for the sheep and leading the sheep to where they can find food and water. And likewise, being a good shepherd is about providing provision. So as a parent, you try and provide for your children and provide them with food and water and love and support. So that's the third aspect, is provision. Okay. So we've got guidance, protection, provision. The fourth point is healing. So a shepherd would have a responsibility for looking after the sheep. So if a sheep hurts itself, the shepherd will want to rescue that sheep and to try and heal the sheep. So in verse 3 of Psalm 23, we've got the phrase, he restores my soul. And in restoring the soul, he's talking about healing our soul. So there's an aspect of healing. Again, as a parent, if your child hurts themselves, then you'll pick them up and you will heal them and you'll look after them and you will treat them. So we've got guidance, protection, provision, and healing. So that's the first four. The fifth and final point I've got is encouragement. So a shepherd will encourage the sheep. And again, we've got the concept of the rod and the staff, which are used to encourage the sheep to follow. We also have the shepherds. We also have the shepherd's voice. So in John 3 and 4, if I can find the right bit, he says he calls his own sheep by name, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So there's a strong well of encouragement. So I've got another little analogy. So back in June, I took part in a triathlon, and we talked a little bit about marshalling. And the chief marshal at this event has a nickname of Shouty Dave, and the nickname is quite appropriate. If you take part in the event, you know why he's called Shouty Dave, because he can spend pretty much seven, 8 hours shouting continuously at people. And he's not shouting in a nasty way. He's shouting encouragement. And it's very, very, he's loud. And if you've ever done something like this, you'll appreciate that if you were to support somebody like this, okay, it's not very inspiring. Whereas if you shout at the top of your voice, it does inspire. So we need to be heard. We need to be vocal. And it does inspire you. You, when you when you can, when you're swimming towards the end of the swim and you can hear somebody shouting at you from about 100 metres away, it does inspire you to swim a bit faster. So the other thing, and we'll mix our metaphors here a bit because we've talked about shouting. I also talk about light here because it's being able to see. So when we while I was thinking about the picture of the mirror and looking in the mirror and what do you see, one of the things that God showed me is what I saw is a basket. Not a basket case, but a basket. So, and the context here is, I'll have to find the right verse, is from Matthew 5:14-16, where it says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. But they put it on a stand, and it gives light in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, against what I saw here is a sort of, although I am the light, I have a habit of sticking a basket over the light and hiding the light. And God is telling me that I need to sort of try and actively take off that basket and put the lamp on the stand, so that I can be seen and I can be more of an encouragement to others. Okay. So we talked about the Good Shepherd, and I've mentioned 5 points. So there was guidance, protection, provision, healing, and encouragement. And we've also talked. I also talked earlier about identity and the fact that I need. We should be able to outwork the "I am the Good Shepherd." So I should be able to say "I am the Good Shepherd," in the same way that I am more like Jesus. So the final thing I'm going to think about is how I can apply this to my life. And part of this might be to say, well, who would be the sheep? So who am I going to be a shepherd to? The first and most obvious one would be my family. So my wife, my children, and my parents. So they're people that mean a lot to me. And I should be able to provide some of these aspects of guidance, protection, provision, healing, and encouragement to them. The second aspect in which I might want to outwork this is to the church. So that's you. And again, I was not too sure how relevant all of these points are, but they are relevant to some extent. I should be able to provide some form of guidance. Don't know about protection, but provision, healing, which should be probably mostly prayer, and encouragement. So we've talked about family, church, so work colleagues. So work colleagues are people I can come in contact with at least 5 days a week. And hopefully I can provide, hopefully I can be, provide some encouragement and some guidance and maybe provision to them as well. And if I know I can pray for them as well, even if I might pray privately, or I might make it public that I'm praying for them. And the fourth area, we've talked about family, church, work colleagues, I guess, would be friends. So other people outside of church that we would come into contact with. So, so there might be friends that we mix with socially. Okay. So, just to summarise then, what we've talked about this morning is I am the Good Shepherd, and I've talked about identity and the and the significance of the I am bar, and that I am called to be more like Jesus, and I should be able to. That means I should be able to say I am the Good Shepherd. And then we talked about the Good Shepherd and what that meant, and I came up with the various points: guidance, protection, provision, healing, and encouragement. And finally, I talked a little bit about how I might try and apply that to my life. So that's, hopefully, it's about that. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope there was something in there for everyone.